Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So, how many of you are the people that when the new year rolls around, you have a list, and we won't call them resolutions, but a list of things that you want to do better, or you want to start doing, or you want to do consistently in the new year? How many of you are new year list people? Let me see. Couple of you, sort of. You're like, maybe me. How many of you are, you don't want to be one of the list people, so you just make it in your mind? I'm going to do this better. I'm going to start doing this. Okay, a few more. But we can't help it. Whether we are New Year's resolution people that write it down or make it in our hands, or we're just, I'm not going to do that because that's what everybody else does and it never works anyway. People, we think about the new year, and the new year makes us think about what we do and what we're intentional about doing, right? Whether it's exercising more, the way we eat, or spending more time with family, or setting goals for work, or whatever it is, we tend to think about it whether we do it or not. And I know many of you constantly and on purpose think intentionally about your spiritual lives. But I'll say this. There's not really a better time during our year to think intentionally about how we're pursuing our walk with Jesus. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to dive into the Word, to some passages that you are familiar with, I'm familiar with, and we're just going to let those passages speak truth, reminding us of some of the things we can do in this new year, perhaps continuing to do in this new year, perhaps do more of in this new year to pursue our Savior in our relationship with Him. This morning, we're going to be in a familiar passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. This passage is about God's Word. It's Timothy receiving a letter from Paul, his mentor, the one who has discipled him in the faith. He's like a spiritual father to him. And Paul's writing to Timothy, and he is giving him guidance in how to be a godly man, a godly pastor. And in the midst of this godly guidance, Paul points him to the Word, to the Bible, to Scripture. He gives him some things that Scripture will do in Timothy's life. And then he tells him why he should expose himself to the Word. So, we are going to go to those specific verses this morning and hopefully be spurred on to dive into the Word more this year. So, are you ready? Let's pray before we dive in. God, we ask that you would speak loudly and clearly through your Word this morning. We pray that you would be glorified alone this morning. We pray for the hearts that are gathered here today that know you, that belong to you, have surrendered their life to your Son, that are identified as Christians here today. God, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts today to make us more like yourself, to make us more hungry for your Word, to spur us on to seek you more often in your Word. God, we pray for those hearts in this room that have yet to surrender to you. God, we pray that as a result of the truth that we come in contact with in your Word today, Lord, that they would be convicted of their sin and your righteousness, and they today would place faith alone in your Son and find salvation as a result of hearing your Word. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Follow along in your copy of God's Word this morning. Verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." So I just want to hone in on verse 14 quickly before we dive completely into this passage. Remember, Paul's giving directions to Timothy. It would be like a parent, a father giving directions to his son in the faith, or Robbie giving directions to one of our teenagers in our church in the faith. He's guiding him or her. Paul is guiding Timothy. And so he says in verse 14, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed." The word "continue" is the same word "to remain." It's the same word that Jesus used in the Gospel of John when he tells his disciples, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. Remain in me and I will remain in you." Paul's telling Timothy to abide in the truth that he has placed faith in, and the things that he has already firmly believed: the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the fact that Jesus is alive and reigning, his Spirit is in him and guiding him and strengthening him, his Word is alive and living, and Jesus is coming back. All these things that dictate how Timothy lives in this broken world, Paul is saying, abide in these things, continue in these things, remain in these things. Then he continues to tell him how. "Knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings." I want to point out to you those words, "sacred writings." In some of the translations, it says "Holy Scripture." It's communicating the same thing, this idea that Timothy, since childhood, has been exposed to something by the people in his life. He's been exposed specifically to Scripture, to some writings that contain truth that he has firmly believed in. And they're not just any Scripture, it's not just any writings, but it's Holy Scripture, it's sacred writings. And that word "sacred" or "holy" points to something about that Scripture, that those writings. In Timothy's life, this would have been the Old Testament. For us, it's the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's Word, the Bible. But that word "holy" or that word "sacred," whichever it says in your copy of God's Word, points to who that Scripture is from. See, if I were to write down something and give it to you, it wouldn't be sacred or holy. If I write down something and give it to my wife, it may be special to her, but that doesn't mean it's holy, right? If something is holy, that means it is of God, from God, belonging to God, right? We see this again as we continue to read through this passage, as Paul continues to talk about Holy Scripture. He says in verse 16, "All Scripture," referring to the Holy Scripture that he was talking about in verse 15. "All Scripture is breathed out by God." In your copy of God's Word, it may say inspired by God. In the original language, when Paul said it, when he wrote it down, it was just one word. And that one word was "God breathed." All Scripture is God breathed, inspired by God, breathed out by God. All Scripture belongs to Him and is from Him. What did that mean for Timothy? That meant all of the Old Testament, all of the books contained in the Old Testament were from God. What does this mean for us? It means that all of the books in our Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, all of Scripture is from God, breathed out by God to us, inspired by God for us. God breathed. It belongs to Him. It's holy, it's sacred, it is His. This, the message that's contained in these pages, is from God. I just want to let that sink in for a second. The message that's contained in your Bible, whether it is on your phone or in print, it is from God. Genesis to Revelation, from God to you. There's a situation in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, chapter 7, verse 89, where Moses comes into the presence of God and God speaks to him. And we read these words sometimes where God speaks to people in the Old Testament and we say things like, man, if God would just speak to me that way, that would be great. But Christian, let me just remind you of something this morning. Remind myself of something. The same way that God spoke to Moses in Numbers chapter 7, verse 89, is the same way that He can speak to me and speak to you through His Word. Those words that Moses heard belong to God. These words that sit in front of us in these Bibles belong to God. The same way that Moses heard from God then is the same way that I can hear from God now, that you can hear from God now, if we would just listen. These words are from God. What a treasure we have. You know that not everybody in our world has access to these words. But we do. You know not everybody in the world has the ability to open multiple translations so that they can see the different nuances that one word in Scripture may mean and apply to them in their lives. But we do. We have such incredible access to God's Word. God's Word is from Him, breathed out by Him to us. I remember, I don't know if presidents still do this. You remember when you get a card in the mail at Christmas time from the president? Anybody remember that? And it, you know, some people toss it in the trash. Some people say, this is very special. It's from my president. But the reality was, it was just like printed, right? It wasn't really a handwritten card from the president. And we knew that, right? Our Bible's not like that. It's not just duplicated enough so that everybody can have it. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word is living and active. God is actively speaking through it to His people. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head, every hair on my head. When you open the Word, He speaks to you. I hope that encourages you this morning. God's Word is from God to us. So if God's Word is from Him, and God is all-powerful, and God's Word is from Him, and God is good, then there's a couple of things that we can say about His Word, and we can see even in this passage this morning that are also true about His Word because of who He is. And so we see that it's from Him, but we also see that God's Word is powerful. Look at what Paul says to Timothy about God's Word. verse 15. It says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So just look at the middle part of this verse. It says, "The sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation." Those words, "which are able." Those words. You look at that verse and see, "which are able." Those words can also be translated, "which have the power to make you wise for salvation." It's the word in Greek that we get our English word from, dynamite. Because dynamite is powerful. So he's not just saying like, it's barely able to make you wise for salvation. It's able to make you wise for salvation along with some other things that make it powerful enough. No. He's saying the sacred writings that Timothy had exposure to from childhood have the power to make him wise for salvation. And that's significant. You think about what salvation is. Salvation is God saving a man or woman who is weak and unable to save themselves, dead in their sin, a rebel against God and His kingdom, and He brings them to life. They are born again, and they're not born again as a neutral party in this thing, but they are moved from rebel, enemy of God, to child of God. That is power. You think about this for a second. How do we come to faith in Christ? How is one saved? One hears the gospel, right? The fact that we are sinners, our world is broken, we are unable to save ourselves, we need someone or something to save us. And God sent His Son to save us, to live a perfectly righteous life that we haven't, to die on a cross, to pay our debt that we should have paid once and for all, and then to raise up from the grave, conquering sin and death for all those who would place faith in Him. How do you and I know that? The Word. So one hears the gospel. They believe the gospel. So we have to believe those things about what God has done for us in His Son. That He actually did die for us. And on the third day, God rose Him up from the dead, conquering sin and death. And we turn from ourselves. We repent. We turn from ourselves, going, "God, I'm not going to live for me and in my way anymore, but I'm going to live for You and Your way. And when I realize that I'm not, I'm going to confess, and I'm going to continue to follow You." And we are saved. That's why Paul says, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So let me just say to you who may be here today, if you're here today and your heart doesn't belong to the Lord, you believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You repent and turn from your sinful ways and turn to Him. And you will be saved. That's the call to you this morning. It's not anything else. It's not to get in the Word more. It's not to read the Bible more. Though I hope you would if you came to faith in Christ. It is to simply believe and repent. Find salvation in Christ today. That's you. I want that to sit heavily on your mind and your heart for the rest of our time together this morning. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He rose up from the dead for you. He's living today, available to you. So God's Word is powerful. He uses His Word to bring people to faith, to bring spiritually dead people to life, to make His enemies His children. But not only that, that's not all he does with his word. Look at verse 17. Read that with me. In verse 16, he goes through all these things that God's word is able to do. And then in 17, he gives us the conclusion of God's word doing all those things in one's life. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So here's what I want you to think about. God uses his word, the hearing of his word, to bring people to faith in him, to save them. And then in the life of the saved individual, the life of the Christian, he uses his word to complete that person, to mature that person. He uses his word to equip that person for every good work. Now I want you to think about the significance of that for a moment. You can think about it in your personal life. The struggle you have within your mind to have pure thoughts, to have good thoughts, to not have hateful thoughts. Within the Word, God uses His Word to help the Christian weed those things out of their mind. Jesus, in John 17, 17, he prays for us. He says, sanctify them in the truth. In other words, make them holy in the truth. Your word is the truth. God uses his word to do this. You can think about the home for a moment. A husband and wife are going through a hard season, and they're both Christians, but the husband cannot find it within himself to love his wife sacrificially. To really lay down all 7 days of the week down and not keep 3 or 4 of him in his afternoons and his evenings for himself. But the Bible tells him to love his bride sacrificially as Christ loved the church. Do you know God can use his word to make decent husbands, good husbands, and godly husbands? Do you know that God can use his word to make decent wives good wives? Do you know God can use his word to make disobedient children obedient children? Do you know that God can use his word to give wisdom to parents and grandparents who are in anguish over their children's lives? You know that God can use his word to make someone who is filthy and in the chains and bondage of sin look like himself. God's word is powerful. It is powerful. You heard two scriptures this morning. The first was Genesis 1, 1 through 3, and you heard these words. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. From the very beginning, we are introduced to the power of his word. We get to the Gospels, and we get to John chapter 11, and you heard another passage where Jesus walks up to the grave of a man who's been dead for 4 days, and Jesus, out of his mouth, says, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came back to life and walked out. Christian, God's word he will use it powerfully in our lives. The question is, are we exposing ourselves to it? Are we listening to him in his word? God's word is from him, and because of that, it is powerful. Do you see it? Not only that, but God is good. And guess what his word is? It's good. Look at the things that God's word will do in the life of the Christian who exposes his or herself to his word. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The word profitable. be translated useful or advantageous. And it doesn't mean useful or advantageous like the knowledge of and the ability to change a tire just in case your tire blows out on the highway. And it doesn't mean useful and advantageous as in the person who keeps jumper cables in their vehicle just in case their battery goes dead. Those things are useful and advantageous, but this is profitable and advantageous on a whole other level. And Paul says this, he's meaning, Timothy, this is God's word is good for you. It would be very wise of you to know God's word, to expose yourself to God's word, because it is valuable in every single arena of life. It is necessary for the Christian in every single arena of life. And he tells him how. It's profitable for teaching. In other words, like we said a moment ago, those who have never heard the good news preached don't know the good news. They've never been taught about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection on their behalf. And the way they are taught that is the word is preached, or the word is given to them, or the word is spoken to them. Same way with the growing Christian. If a husband is a new Christian and he doesn't know that he's supposed to live sacrificially for his wife and his family, the only way he can know it is if he's taught that. And the way he's taught that is from the Word, right? So it's profitable for us to know what we should do with our lives and how to do those things with our life. But not only that. So it's profitable for teaching, for reproof. This is a hard word. Some of your translations may say rebuke. Does anybody enjoy being rebuked? No? Me neither. Has anybody ever been thankful that they were rebuked? Yeah. Me too. You know who I think was thankful that they were rebuked? King David. You think about King David's life. If you were with us last week, you heard a little more about his life. You can go back and read in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 to read about it. But he is on a terrible road, destroying his life, destroying the lives of the people around him, possibly destroying the nation he's supposed to be leading and protecting. A terrible path he is on, going 100 miles per hour down that path. And God rebukes him. He sends a message to David saying, you're taking advantage of the people around you. You are guilty of all these things. And David is broken over his sin. But David saw his sin because God rebuked him. I want you to think about this for a moment. Think about the roads you would have gone down in your life had it not been for God's word. First, had it not been for the gospel, and then had it not been for the teaching of God's word in your life, and for the painful moments in your life that God did convict you with his word, that he said, this in your life, Christian, is wrong. You need to stop. While that's painful, we can be oh so thankful that God does that in our lives. He actively looks down in our lives and actually says, Christian, this is right, but this that you're doing, this habit that you're forming, this road that you're going down is wrong. And this may sound like a warning. It's not. It's actually encouragement. But if you expose yourself to God's word, guess what he will do? He will rebuke you. He will rebuke me. And praise God that he does. So it's good for profitable for teaching and reproof for correction. So he doesn't just tell us what we do wrong, but he goes on to show us what is correct and for training in righteousness. What we've already said this morning, he uses his word to make us more and more like himself. We are not righteous apart from him, but he works in our lives in such a way that through his word, we can live like him, and the power of his Holy Spirit, we can live like him. His word is good. Some of you are teeter-tottering on the edge of maybe towards the beginning of your life here. Some of you younger people are going, I really don't know if I want God's word to dictate my life. You could talk to some of the other people in this room and just ask us, is it worth it for God's word to dictate your life? Is it beneficial for you to allow God's word to dictate your life? And all of us, with a resounding yes, would say, yes, life is better under the leadership of God and His word. So this brings us to a question this morning. If God's word is from Him, and if God's word is this powerful and this good, why are we not exposing ourselves to God's word more? I've been convicted of this. My phone has a setting on it where once a week it gives me a report on the amount of screen time that I've spent. I'm like, don't tell me that. I don't want to know that. But you know what it does when I see that report on my phone? It's not something I told it to do. Like, Apple just did it. But the Lord's using it in my life because the Lord's like, look how much time you're staring at this when you could be in my word. Or you could be doing other things that are more useful for my kingdom. Why are we not in His word more? If it is really from Him, really that powerful, really that good? I don't have a good answer. I'm assuming that none of us do. And this morning, I'm not encouraging you to try to read through the Bible over the next month. You can, it wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm not even encouraging you to read through the Bible over the next year, though if the Lord convicts you to do so, do it. I'm just encouraging you to get, and myself too, to get in the Word more so that you can hear God speak, not just generally, but to you more, because He will. So Christian, I don't know what your resolutions are for 2019. I don't know if you have any. But I would encourage you, whether it has anything to do with the new year or not, whether you get in the Word regularly or not, if you do, then I would challenge you to read more of the Word. And let me just, kind of as a side note, let me say this. We are bombarded with material about the Bible today. Preachers are grace from God. Teachers that are equipped by God are grace from God to help us understand the Word. Devotionals and Sunday school material are all things that are good and God's grace towards us to help us understand His Word. But they are not His Word. So if all you're doing is getting preaching and getting teaching and reading Sunday school lessons, I would encourage you to just get in the Word and trust Him to speak to you. This morning we have a table over here. This table is not exhaustive by any stretch, but it has some resources on it, some samples of resources. If you would like one of these, come grab me and I'll help you find one of these. But they're examples of Bible reading plans and Bibles that will help you instill a habit of getting in the Word daily. Some of them are larger chunks, some of them are smaller chunks. I just want us to get in the Word more. So if this will help you, use one of them. If you want to look for another resource that will help you, I would be glad to help you find a different Bible reading plan. If you have this down in your life, and the Lord's not speaking you to get more into His Word, I would encourage you to go find somebody and help them develop the habit that you already have in your life. If you don't know Jesus, today can be this day of salvation. He is good and He is powerful. There is no one better and no one more powerful than Him. No one else is able to save. So if your business today is giving your life to Him, I encourage you to do that. If your business today is repenting from a sin of omission, not being in His Word, May this be the day of change for you, where God brings about transformation and getting His Word in your life daily. Or may it be the day that you commit to being in the Word more. Whatever it is, we're singing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And I pray that as a church, we would turn our eyes more upon Him by getting in His Word more. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You for Your Word. God, we thank You that You, though we don't deserve it by any stretch, God, You speak to us. You have given us Your Word. You have preserved Your Word through history. It is intact. You are faithful to keep it intact, Lord. Thank You for that, Lord. And thank You that it is living and active, and You actively speak through Your Word to Your children. And that if just one of Your children opens it up, Lord, You will be faithful to speak to that child through Your Word. If Your church opens it up, You'll be faithful to speak to that church through Your Word. Thank You that Your Word is powerful and that Your Word is good, just as You are powerful and You are good. Thank You. God, we worship You and we want to know You more. May You make us hungry and more hungry to know You more through Your Word this year. In Your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you and pray for you and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
strength is failing. The end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then your holy name. Worship your holy name. Worship your holy name.